We're just seconds away from a conversation with Professor Keith Mueller of the University of Iowa. We're going to be talking about rural health care delivery and the impact several things have on the economy of rural Iowa, from payment systems to recruiting to health care accessibility. It all matters, especially because health care is one of the largest sectors of the rural economy. Dr. Keith Mueller, coming up next. Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Learn how AARP is offering solutions from caregiving to building livable communities to family support. There's real possibilities in the work going on every day from AARP Iowa.
Inside on Business, the News Hour is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals, news and information for small to mid-sized businesses. iowabusinessjournals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through. Today on our newsmaker line, we have Dr. Keith Mueller from the University of Iowa. Now, his specialty happens to be in economic development with a real focus on healthcare. And we're going to talk about that state of healthcare and economic development in Iowa with Dr. Mueller. Doctor, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you've made the time to be with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right, sir. I get an opportunity to travel Iowa on a regular basis, and I know I've talked with the Iowa Hospital Association, and in rural parts of the state, we've seen some pretty bleak news when it comes to rural hospitals and pharmacies, and a way of life that we're having here in Iowa. Give us the broad brushstroke, and then we'll get into some particulars about what are we facing in rural Iowa when it comes to health care and also economic development.
Well, we're facing a perennial challenge or constant challenge in health care to have the right mix of health care professionals available to people where they live. So that's a generalized statement to say having clinics available that could be staffed by physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, or primary care physicians, so a form of primary care available locally for our residents. Certainly primary hospital care, which would include emergency room and short-term hospital stays. We want that available, all of us, where we live. And maintaining those is a challenge, has always been a challenge, and it's been more acute in the last, say, 5 years with changes in payment for services that, you know, sometimes a very large institution like here at the university might be able to adapt, but it's very difficult for a small-scale provider, small hospital, small clinic, to adapt when the payment system changes and you need new administrative skills and talents to learn that system and abide by it, or when payment, you know, quite frankly, is just plain cut, which has occurred in Medicare payment over the last several years because of what has gone on in the federal budget picture and the reduction across the board in domestic spending included reducing Medicare payment even to hospitals that are paid on what's called cost basis, where they are reimbursed for their actual cost. Even their payment has been reduced in the last few years.
One of the other things, and we don't do politics on the Business News Hour, but they are inextricably linked, it seems, these days. One of the other concerns that I know I've heard voiced with regard to hospital association and hospitals, rural hospitals, and nurse practitioners and social workers is the Medicaid system that's here in Iowa and how that has sometimes impacted payments to individuals and to clinics and to hospitals. Is that also an issue that you're seeing healthcare face?
Yes, and there's sort of a plus and minus in the Medicaid arena. And I'll start with the plus. When Governor Branstad made the decision a few years ago to be a state that would expand eligibility to low-income individuals and households under Medicaid, that was a plus because it meant there was now an assured source of payment for services delivered to that population. Prior to that expansion in eligibility, you faced the challenge if you were a provider of trying to collect payment from someone who's very low income, and you'd either have to set up a schedule of payment or you'd have to write out that off as charity care. With Medicaid expansion, now you've got a source of revenue. You can fight and complain about how much it is, but you've got a sure source of revenue. So that's on the plus side. The minus side has been all of the, I'll call it just turbulence, of the last 2 years with the transition to contracting Medicaid through the Medicaid managed care organizations, and then those organizations being the immediate source of payment to the providers and all of the, and sort of what I was characterizing earlier, the sort of administrative burden that comes with now you're negotiating with more than one payer, whereas before it was just Medicaid, period. Now it's three different MCOs. And you're also trying to figure out what their rules are in terms of any kind of pre-authorization requirements, sure, in-network, out-of-network, all of those things.
And I understand the rules.
That has created an environment in which, you know, we are hearing complaints, and I don't have a strong database to comment based on research, so I can only say what you're hearing of
certainly
the complaints that you hear from the providers.
Certainly. We hear also that rules change from time to time, provider to provider, and that's causing some other issues. All right, let's talk about the economic development of healthcare in Iowa, and in particular rural. I was just looking at a statistic today, as a matter of fact, that indicates that the jobs issue and the employment picture since the recession has really improved in urban settings across the United States. But in rural parts of the country, it still lags. I mean, multiple percentage points under what's happening in urban United States. So one of the things I think that people need to understand is that oftentimes in these rural communities and counties, it's the healthcare organization that is the major employer. Would that be accurate?
Yes. Generally, it's in the top three. Oftentimes, it's education as the top employer, followed by the healthcare organization. If you're fortunate, in some communities, there may be a manufacturing sector that's still thriving, and that would be your number one, and then some toss-up between education and healthcare quickly following that.
And when new technology, doctor, when new technology comes to the fore, and we're talking about telemedicine and we're talking about telepharmacies, what impact do you think is that having on rural health care and the delivery system and the economics in rural Iowa?
Well, I'll give you two slices to that. You know, slice one is it certainly changes the dynamics of the direct employment in health care in a community so that you know, prior to telehealth, if you were fortunate to have the access locally, you had it through local professionals who lived and worked in the community and provided that service. After telehealth, you still have a personal connection locally, but the level, if you will, of clinical training may be different, and so the income stream, et cetera, is different, and the total employment within healthcare will change. The other way of looking at that, though, is, which I think is more important, is you're maintaining the local service.
Sure.
And if you maintain the local service, even if you drop off a little bit in the direct employment, the indirect effect is going to remain, that still is a community that you or I would find viable to live in because we know we have access to services that we need right there in that community delivered through the benefits of telehealth. So I think the overall economic development impact is clearly positive. because, again, you've got, you're maintaining an essential local service.
Right. One of the things the University of Iowa, I saw in a press release recently, is that the university is really taking a hard look at increasing the number of physicians' assistants in the state of Iowa. One of the issues is that a vast number of the current PAs that are out there and working are aging and over 50 years of age. So how important is it that this gets replenished, not just in urban Iowa, but also rural Iowa, with new students and new practitioners?
It's incredibly important, and a lot of points of access, as I keep referring to it, in rural communities are through rural health clinics. And the rural health clinics are staffed primarily by a combination of physician's assistants and advanced practice nurses or nurse practitioners. And we have over 100 of those in Iowa. So having a labor force through PAs that can staff that is absolutely critical.
And we've been visiting in the past with individuals who are very concerned as well, outside of the PA realm, very concerned with direct caregivers, indicating that there are not enough direct caregivers, not only in urban Iowa, but also in rural Iowa. And we would be talking about direct caregivers for hospice, for direct caregivers in long-term health care facilities, those types of things. Are you seeing that as another issue as we take a look at economic development in rural Iowa?
Yes, and I keep answering you in pairs.
It's quite all right.
So one part of the answer is yes, that's another area that, you know, we've relied historically on a very informal sort of within family direct caregiving for a lot of people. With generational changes in the nature of working couples, it's more and more difficult to just assume that that will get taken care of. So we need to be a little bit more formal about it, which leads to the other part of the answer, that this is actually an economic opportunity mm-hmm. for employment.
Because
you don't need, you know, 10 years of training all the way through some residency program to meet that need. So this is a way to come back around to where you started on rural areas not getting the same boost yet coming out of the Great Recession as urban areas. Well, this is an employment opportunity in rural areas.
A final question for you. We're talking on our newsmaker line with Dr. Keith Mueller from the University of Iowa about economic development issues as they pertain to rural Iowa and in particular in healthcare. So we've talked about some of the issues. We've talked about some of the pluses and minuses. Where do you think we go, and how do we help solve some of the issues that we've been talking about? Looking forward, Doctor.
I think we should focus a lot of our attention around where we just were with workforce issues, like generating the right supply of physician's assistants, direct care workers, lay health workers, and as I think through that and what helps in, again, access in local communities is integrating people within the healthcare professions across what we sometimes call the continuum of care, mm-hmm. so everything from a lay health worker that helps you understand how to get into the system and use it through everybody in the system and then back out again at the other end, if you will, back into the community and those community health workers. I think if we keep our attention focused on that, we'll address issues of having essential services available locally. We'll address issues of appropriate workforce, which will lead to the kinds of training and certification programs that in and of themselves are creating economic opportunity. And then the final point is creating communities where people will want to live,
mm-hmm.
either move to or remain in, and part of that community in terms of a capital is social and human capital, and that deals back to the healthcare system.
Absolutely. Dr. Keith Mueller, thank you so much for spending some time with us on this. This is a very important conversation. We don't want to give it short shrift because we are seeing, although this broadcast emanates out of the capital city, out of Des Moines, we do spend a considerable amount of time in rural Iowa. And the bottom line is, in many communities, this is top-of-mind awareness among those economic development people that are there because we do have a system that needs fixing, and if our educational opportunities and our citizenry can be assistive in that, that is all for the benefit of all of us. Thank you so very much for spending some time with us, Doctor.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Once again, that was Dr. Keith Mueller from the University of Iowa. We were talking about health care and the rural economy in Iowa. You want to find out more about that study, we will have a link up on our radio blog. Stay with us. More to come from the University of Iowa coming up next here on the Business News Hour.